Several years ago, I remember being woken up in the middle of the night by my elementary school age son, Vincent. Now, you know, we get woke up. You can probably think of numerous times you've been woken up in the middle of the night, but this one stood out to me. Because as I felt his pushing on me, I opened my eyes, and there he was, you know, just looking directly down at my face. And I opened my eyes, and he was right above me. And I remember him saying to me, "Dad, I don't feel well." And as I looked up at him, in that moment, he did that with his hand, kind of like, oh. And in an instant, I placed my hand on his chest. And to use a word that Pastor Greg used often last week, I hurled him a few feet, a few feet away from me and onto the floor where he proceeded in his unwellness. And as he did, I woke up Greta and said, "Hey, Vincent's not feeling well over there." You know, you know, I share that story with you as an introduction to the sermon, but not because it's a sermon about being a wonderful, loving, self-sacrificing father, because I wasn't, right? But it is an introduction to the sermon today about God's wonderful design. Now, it's okay if you're thinking, "I don't know if I'm staying. What design of what? What? Where are we going with this?" What I want to talk about today is this. When I opened my eyes that night and I looked up and I saw him directly above me, I was aware of God's design of gravity, and that whatever was going to come from his mouth was coming toward the earth in my direction, right? But I was also aware of God's design that I could exert enough force on his body to defeat gravity at least for a couple feet. And so I did that, right? And I diverted him off to the side in that condition, right? Well, today, I want us to look at that. We've been looking at doing a study in the incredible design of God. It, just to look based on what? The general revelation, a study of, look at God's creation, his design. Why did he give us the gift of taste? Why did he give us the gift of touch? Why being able to remember? Why have different seasons? And other things we've looked at to kind of say, wow, what a God. And then allow that general revelation to point us to the special revelation of Scripture and how it could apply to us. And today we want to look at that aspect, that design of God that literally holds all things together. And as we look and see how he has designed his creation to be sustained, hopefully it'll help you see the character of God and how that impacts your relationship with him. And so I want to pray and then we'll continue on. Father in heaven, we are well aware you are holding all things, and that includes us. We pray that the general revelation that science points us to might thrill us with the special revelation that truly fulfills it all. In the name of Jesus, help us see it. Amen. If you open up in your Bible to Job chapter 38. Now, Genesis tells us how God created, but Job tells us a lot there. God does in Job. He describes it a lot. He describes, "I did this, I did this, I did this." He gives it a lot more personal details, right? Job does. And that's what God's saying to Job when Job's saying, "Hey, you need to help me understand this and that." And God says, "Look, you need to understand that you and I are not standing on the same level," right? What does God say in Job 38 and verse 8? "Or who enclosed the sea with doors? When bursting forth, it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band. I placed boundaries on it, and I set a bolt and doors. And I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here's your proud waves, Here they stop. You ever been standing at the ocean? A lot of you, you know, been at the ocean. Maybe you were going to go down this weekend, but you saw the weather and you didn't go. And you're standing at the ocean. And, Lord, why are you letting such and such happen in my life? Lord, I don't understand why so-and-so doesn't like me. Lord, I don't know. And stop and think about God saying, well, first let me ask you this. Why isn't all that water just flying off the earth out into space? If you can answer that for me, then, you know, right? What does God say? Job, I'll tell you why. Because I'm holding it there. I'm the one who decides the forces in place to stop the water at a certain spot, to keep things on the earth. It's all about me. Verse 33, what does he say there? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens or fix their rule over the earth? Do you understand? Are you the one who has put whatever it is in place that keeps things sustained? Right? The study of the science of what? Physics. We as Christians are very excited about science. Christians are not people who, wow, we don't believe in science. We believe in real science. We don't, when someone who proclaims to be studying science says, I don't believe in a God, and so I'm therefore going to look at the evidence, but that can't be the answer. That's not real science. That's religion. That's, here's my religious belief, there's no God, and then my science will be based on my religious belief that there's no God. But real science, we love real science. Now, are there a lot of scientific theories out there that I might go, well, I don't necessarily believe that. But real science, looking at things, breaking things down, evidence, science is what? It points us to general revelation. Now, we're not going to be doing a class on physics here today because I never took physics. And I don't know a lot. Whatever I tell you, it's going to be like somebody, I read it from somewhere else, right? But we are doing a look at what Paul says in Romans 1. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, listen, there is so much evidence without scripture. There is so much evidence to be seen that every human being is without excuse if they reject God. Because the evidence is so overwhelming. The ability to scientifically break things down and look and say, wow, how is everything being held together? It points us to a designer. And I would say even the atheistic physicists, and they're not all atheistic, there's many believing physicists, but even the ones who don't believe, what they don't realize is what they're actually studying is how God designed the world to be held together, to be sustained. And so in the world of physics today, you could look this up. I believe me, I don't remember this from my 1 year of earth science or whatever I had, you know, my freshman year of high school. But reading about it, physicists would tell us there's four things that they're observing that are so, you know, fundamental to the world being sustained. The first is what? Gravity, kind of what I began talking about. The BBC Science Focus website says this, in a nutshell, all matter is attracted to all other matter. The more matter there is and the closer the objects are to each other, the bigger that attractive force. So gravity is the force that keeps us on the surface of the earth and the earth in orbit around the sun, right? And so if you watched Apollo 13, the film, and we're going to use the gravity, in other words, the force around the moon to swirl us back, you know, when they were in trouble. What can be observed? Before Jesus was ever born, the Greek philosopher Aristotle was studying it. And in his mind, he believed that heavier things fell to the ground quicker than lighter things. But by the 1600s, Galileo came along, and Galileo proved Aristotle was wrong. He proved that the way it actually works, gravity accelerates objects at the same rate. You could do it in your own office. You take a book and you take a pen and you drop them. They're going to hit the ground at the same time, right? And that was his addition. In 1687, Isaac Newton published the theory of the law of universal gravitation. In 1915, Albert Einstein disagreed with Newton, and he developed the general theory of relativity. Now, none of these are going to be on like a matching, you know, test, you know, names with it, because I'm in over my head. But the point I'm trying to make is that there's more questions and questions and what's it about and trying to figure it out until we come today. And at the very end of my study on the BBC Science Focus website, they said this: gravity is still one of the most mysterious forces in the universe. In other words, we can't figure out why it's there. We don't know what's behind it all, right? We see it. Even scriptural, you read a simple verse like Psalm 40, right? In Psalm 40, I'm just picking one of many, but in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2, David says, "He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm." In other words, we know in life what that means: firm footsteps on the ground, right? I didn't see any of you walk in here this morning going, "All right, don't like push off too hard, because if you do, you might float up." You know, there is no human being that could stand in our center aisle and jump up and touch the peak of our roof, right? There are none. Nobody has that kind of vertical leap, right? Why? Because of the forces that hold us here. We take it for granted. We see it. But the question is, how'd it get there? Science can't find what's behind it all. And I'm telling you, you read the best, you know, physics pages, and they're going to say, "But we don't understand it. It's mysterious. We have no explanation for what we see it, but we don't know what's causing it." But there's more. There's also what? The electromagnetic force. And an electromagnetic force is keeping electrons orbiting the nucleus at the center of an atom. So the electromagnetic force, it allows chemical compounds to be formed, all necessary for us sitting here, right? Third, they've observed a strong force, and that's what they call it. Those of you who are more scientific than me, you know strong force. The strong force holds together the building blocks of the atoms, which are in turn the building blocks of everything we see. Strong force is necessary. Why? Because it overpowers the electromagnetic force so that the neutrons and the protons can come together. And you're saying, "I thought you said this wasn't gonna be a physics class, right?" But it's not. It's really Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, creation is telling us, "Come study me. Learn more about creation," because it's going to keep pointing you to God's glory, to God's design. Thing about the strong force that's very exciting is it holds together what physics call quarks. I don't know if you've heard of a quark, Q-U-A-R-K. Quarks are particles that are 100 billion times smaller than a human hair. So I just saw one the other day. No, obviously not. I can't see a quark, but we have advanced in our ability to study, to break things down, and these quarks do what? They form the protons and the neutrons that form the nucleus of an atom. And what physics are saying is it's a strong force. What causing that force? We just call it the strong force. It's holding those quarks together. And then there's a weak force. It's even smaller. It allows the tiny quarks to change from a neutron to a proton. I'm not sure why, and I'm going to stop at that point, right? But my point is, the main fact is this: we can observe all these incredible forces. A physicist, the world of science, can break it down. They see it. Here's what's happening. We're seeing it. This electromagnetic, this strong force. Where did it come from? We don't know. Why is it there? We seem to know its purpose, what it's doing, But, you know, how it got there, right? And that's where general revelation points us to the special revelation of God's word, right? Because it leads us right to finding the answer. And Paul writes it to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16. He's talking about Jesus and he says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Whew. You have verses saying about what is it that's causing all of this to stay together? You know, in a couple months, we're going to be singing, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." I want to kind of alter that. "Quark, the herald Adam sings, glory to the King of Kings." In other words, when you really look at this and see it, my little buddy Quark, and I can't see him, but this little Quark that is doing what? He's heralding, look at the Adam and how it all stays together. Glory to the King of Kings. Because verse 17 there, the word "hold together," it's a compound word. Obviously, two words form it. The first is the word in Greek, sin, not sin, S-I-N, but S-Y-N. We say synonym, you know, sameness, together. And the histemi, the second word, has to do with to make stand. And so the word's saying to make stand together. Jesus is the force. Jesus is the author of the laws that make matter stay together. He literally is. And so we have the answer. Science says we see it. It's amazing. We got this gravity, this electromagnetics, and but we don't know how it got there. We don't know what's behind it. Scripture says we do. Quark, the herald, Adam sings glory to the King of Kings. What do we read in Hebrews chapter 1? In Hebrews chapter 1 about Jesus, right? We read, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world." And verse 3, "He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power." It's the same word there. It's Jesus's word that is keeping all of this scientific truth in place. He's the force. He holds it all. That's your God. You're standing there intimidated by what? Remember, every part of the matter of that person is being held together by the word of Jesus. He is the one that sustains all of these laws that keeps the world together. You know, because we may sing to kids, "He's got the whole world in his hands." Ah, yeah. But what are they hearing in our lives when the election doesn't go the way we want it to go? When the stock market's shrinking? When the surgery is coming? When the boss is a pain? When, you know, when they're seeing us face trials, are they hearing us singing, "He's got it all in his hands"? Or are they looking at people who you would think don't believe there's a God that's holding everything in his hands? You know, that sense of when we see gravity and the electromagnetic force and the strong force and the weak force, do you see the evidence of a God who says to Job, "I'm holding it all"? I want us to see three things as we close, right? First is this: when you observe that God holds creation together, you can believe that he holds his plan in place, right? Proverbs tells us that. The 19th chapter of Proverbs, and in that 19th chapter, in Proverbs 19 and verse 21, if you get there before me, That's fine, let me read it. But Proverbs 19:21, many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. We make a lot of plans, but doesn't mean we're able to ensure them. God's plans remain. In Galatians, as he's talking, Paul is writing, he says what? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, to redeem us. What's the fullness of time? It's in God's plan, when it was time, it happened, right? In his purpose, in his plan, God's plans don't get tossed. God's never sitting there. God doesn't make any halftime corrections. All right, I didn't expect what they were going to be throwing at us defensively. All right, but here, we're going to try. God, that's never God. He's never trying to, okay, all right, I wasn't prepared for that, but we're not going to panic. His plans are absolutely sure. Creation shouts to us, God is not vulnerable. And even those out there in our world who think somehow, like we sang, though the nations roar, that we got God, we got a hold of him, we're gonna frustrate his plans. God is literally holding their matter, holding them physically together at the moment that they think that they've got him in a vulnerable spot. And so when you observe that God holds creation together, you can believe that he holds his plan in place. It's going, it's secure. But secondly, when you observe that God holds creation together, you can believe that he holds his word and promise, every word. What did Jesus say? And I don't know if you ever thought about gravity or the laws of force when you read these words of Jesus. Excuse me. But in Luke chapter 6, we read there in verse 47, Jesus says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man or a woman building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. Here's what Jesus is kind of saying, right? When you think about my word, I want you to think about a rock. And I want you to know, I hold the force that holds the millions of quarks together, that form the protons and the neutrons, that form the atoms that make a rock solid. Know that, right? That's right. So when you're standing on a rock, and it's hard and it's solid, the only reason it is because I'm the one that's holding all of those quarks together. And when you realize that and think about it, know this. When you trust my word, you're trusting the one who's holding that rock together. You're trusting my ability to hold all things. You're trusting my promises. The Apostle John says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, how can I know that I have eternal life? Well, do you stand on a rock and do you trust it's not just going to dissolve underneath you? You know, the one who's holding the quarks together to make that rock solid, he's the one who said to you, you can know that you have eternal life. Romans chapter 8, we know that God makes all things work together for good to those who love God, to called according to his purpose. Does that mean every cruel thing that happens in your life, God did it? No, God's not the author of cruelty. But what it is saying is God has promised, I can take that act of cruelty that you have faced and I can use it for good in your life. That I can take God's word. I look at science, physics, how things are held together. Wow, that's my God. Thirdly, when you observe that he holds creation together, you can believe, my friend, he holds you. He is holding you personally. He knows who you are, right? Psalm 37 says what to us? Psalm 37 in verse 23, And there in Psalm 37, we read, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord. He delights in his way. And when he falls, he will not be," there's that word again, Greg, "hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." You know what that verse is saying? God, your father, is not like me, Vincent's father. I hurled him headlong to protect myself. Your father in heaven will never do that. He doesn't need to be protected. He will never hurl you headlong. The God who holds all things together, that God that's holding you. I think I shared this story, I don't know how long ago, but when my son Vincent, probably almost close to the same time that he woke me up in the middle of the night, he was, as I said, in elementary school, and one afternoon, I wasn't home. Greta got a phone call from the teacher. Your son Vince is saying you didn't pack a lunch for him, and we have Chick-fil-A today, and he wants Chick-fil-A, and so I'm going to loan him the money if you can send it in tomorrow. My wife said, oh, no, I packed him a lunch. He's got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich there in his book bag. Well, he says he doesn't. He says that there is no sandwich here. And Greta said, well, I want you to check before you get him Chick-fil-A, because he left here with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in his book bag. They got him the Chick-fil-A. He came home at the end of the school with a little note saying, here's how much you need to send in the morning. Greta, when I got home from the office, Greta said, you know, he's lying. Like that, I put that in there, and I just can't believe our son would lie. And I was like, oh, gee, I'm sorry, because I can, because I remember doing it. You know what I mean? I can remember in my own life, like, what's that, Dad? Well, and my mind, you know, spinning, you know, going, will that work? Will this work? Will that work? You know, and so I got involved. And I said, Vince, Mom says there was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your bag, book bag. When is the last time you saw it? Well, okay, I do think I remember seeing it in my book bag early in the day when I was getting something out. Okay, well, where did it go? I don't know. Vince, what happened to your peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Well, it may have been when maybe it fell out when I was, I said, Vincent, God is holding all the cells together in your heart right now. If God decides he can let those cells go and your heart will just come apart and your life will be over. Vince says, I threw the peanut butter and jelly sandwich underneath the bookshelf in Mrs. Mather's class or whatever. Now listen, some of you may be like, man, I'm glad he wasn't my dad. Like, it was one of those moments where I knew he could handle me bringing to him the presence of God literally holding his being, right? You may still say, I still disagree with you. It was too over the top, you know. It worked. We found the peanut butter jelly sandwich with several thousand ants, and, you know, we took care of it, right? But my point is that sense of what? Do you believe that? I'm facing this thing. Wait a minute. The only reason I'm standing here is because science tells me there are forces that are holding together the quarks in my legs that are forming protons and neutrons, and they're making a nucleus of an atom, and they have no idea what's holding it all together. The God who's holding it all together, he's holding me. Lambert Dolphin is a Christian physicist, and he wrote, "There is thus an active force imposed on the universe which actively holds the very atoms of the material world together moment by moment." See, think of that song. Never a trial that he is not there. Never a burden that he does not bear. Never a sorrow that he does not share. Moment by moment, I'm under his care. Remember that one? Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love, right? Moment by moment, oh Lord, I am thine. Whew. Are you his? See, Jesus spoke, and in the Gospel of John, we read, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I give the sheep eternal life, and nobody can ever pluck them out of my hand. My question is, are you in his hand? Maybe you're watching online today, wherever you may be. Are you in the hand of God? Because there's only one way to get in there. And you don't have enough money to get in there. And you don't have enough time to get in there. And you don't have enough goodness to get in there. The gospel is very clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But what does Scripture say? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. No one can pluck you out of God's hand when you come to God and say, I believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, was crucified as a payment for my sin. God, I confess my sin. I put my faith in Jesus. Save me. Have you prayed that prayer? Because if you haven't, you're not in his hand. You're not held safe eternally. Oh, he's still holding your body together right now. But you're not in his hand eternally as his child. Oh, how much I beg for your sake that you would. Would you bow your heads with me as we close? I just want to say, dear friend, I want to, you know, whether you're sitting here or whether you're sitting at home, right now, the God of all creation, I know some of you right now, you know it. He is tapping on your heart. He is saying to you, you hear Vince's voice, but it's me. It's me who's, you can even sense it right now. I am holding your body together. I am holding this earth in space. I am here to save you. And if you would just say to God in your own words, in your heart, oh God, forgive me of my sin. I believe you hold all things. I put my faith in Jesus. I trust that his death on the cross paid for my sin. Save me, God. Oh, dear friend, pray that for your sake, not for mine. And if you've prayed that, tell somebody. Let me know. Let someone here know, hey, I put my faith in Jesus so that we can stand with you. Father, thank you for holding all things. We sing that truth in the words of this song now in closing. In the name of Jesus, amen.